Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everyone and welcome along to this episode of La Liga Lowdown. We're so close to the return of La Liga with Sevilla versus Betis getting us back underway on Thursday, June 11th. Kickoff, remember, at 10 p.m. Spanish time. I'm Ewan McTeer and I'm delighted to be hosting this preview podcast ahead of the final 11 rounds. It's actually our second preview podcast as we already released one which contained all of the fan voices as we got the thoughts of one fan for each of the 20 teams in Spain's top division, so go check that one out. But for this episode, I'm joined by La Liga Lowdown regulars Roman de Arquer and Paco Pollitt. How are you both, and how have you both been coping over these past 3 months without any live football?
Very, very well. Very excited, finally, to be able to talk some football after so many weeks. And I guess we're less excited than the fans themselves because they have been desperate for football content, but pretty excited overall for being able to do what we love the most.
Yeah, it's been hard 3 months, it has to be said, you know, being at home, not being able to watch football, and especially not being able to play football is also something that some of us haven't been able to enjoy. It's been difficult, I guess, not having football for such a long time. I mean, we're always used to it in summer where there's, you know, the typical pause where everyone's worried about their own things because in the end, people are in their vacations, in their holidays, they don't really worry. But this time we just had nothing to do, you know, being at home, waiting for something that wasn't really happening or you didn't know what was going to happen was quite strange, to be honest. And we know how important football is here to fans in Spain. It's the biggest sport there is in this country, and when football comes back, you can already tell there's, you know, more excitement, people are smiling even more, so it's something we're glad to have back finally.
So football is coming back after 3 months. Roman, what have you thought of La Liga's attempts and efforts to bring football back? Not all fans are happy that it's back, obviously having to come back behind closed doors. So have La Liga gone about this in the right way, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's something they've been working on for the last few months, of course. Since football stopped immediately after, they were already talking about it coming back or about it being cancelled, etc., etc. So it's always been a very hot topic. And it has to be said, at first, when all this started here in Spain, it seemed very premature to be talking about La Liga coming back. But they were convinced it could happen. They were saying that they were going to try whatever it took, you know, to let the competition go on. And from my point of view, I think that was just not the right time, maybe, because, you know, a lot of people were getting sick, a lot of people were passing away, and it was a very delicate situation. But now, after a few months, it seems that things are getting better. And in the end, I think it's much needed, not only for football and for the fans, but for the economy as well. Football is really important here in Spain, as I mentioned before. And so you can understand that at the beginning, fans weren't really convinced about the decision of going back. But now, seeing that everything is getting a bit better here in Spain, it kind of makes sense. And it seems like they've really worked hard on making it go on properly. You know, they have a plan. Everything's really calculated, it seems. And if everything goes according to what they've planned out, it should be fine. And hopefully we'll be able to enjoy football without any more cancellations or postponements or whatever.
And it'll be a very different kind of football, won't it? Paco, can you explain to us some of the things that will be different about football when it comes back? Behind closed doors, of course, but What else will be unique about this stretch of 11 match days?
Well, you said it. The main point to discuss is obviously the absence of the fans in the grounds. It's something that I have already experienced this season in Valencia's game against Atalanta at Mestalla, and it was an absolute disaster for the home team. Watching those huge stadiums empty is going to be quite shocking for the fans, and especially the spooky feeling of loneliness of the players, being able to listen to every single yell, sentence, cursing or grunt, thanks to the mics placed very closely to the pitch. We will be able to listen to the managers delivering orders in the sidelines. We will see plenty of amusing examples of the new normal, when players who are expected to have zero physical contact suddenly challenge or tackle or push or kick the opposition, and later lend them a hand to get back to their feet. It doesn't make sense. And we will see plenty of masks around, worn by players, by staff, by the kids in the silence too. I don't know, maybe I think that many things are going to change, and I'm actually very intrigued on the way it will have an impact on the actual development of the games. For example, we've seen in Bundesliga that many away teams have managed to pick up points lately and increase the percentage of points being picked up when playing away from home, because of not having, you know, the loudness and the atmosphere inside the stadiums. And I expect something similar to happen also in Spain.
So that's an interesting point you make. Some of the different things we'll see. I feel sorry for Barcelona assistant Eder Sarabia, who got the lip reader's treatment before all this and had his every shout and every instruction from the Clásico written up and printed out. Imagine if there's now microphones nearby the dugout and the silence to be able to hear everything. Although at least if he's wearing a mask, then it'll be more difficult for the lip readers. So he could be one of the winners or maybe one of the losers of this. What about the teams though? Which teams do you think will benefit the most from the break and these new circumstances?
Mainly, I believe, teams who were on a bad dynamic before the break. For example, Real Madrid, they lost some steam in the race after winning Barca and beating Barca 2-0. They lost a bit of their momentum in their race for the title. And I think the break is going to benefit them, or even Valencia, who have a great chance of turning things around after a streak of defeats back in February against Real Sociedad, against Getafe, 3-0 both games, against Atalanta twice. And they also have, for example, they had the luxury of getting their most informed striker back. Maxi Gómez wasn't supposed to play no more games this season because of injury, and he has been able to return in form in time, just in time for these last 11 games. So I think teams in the relegation spots might also benefit, for example, Espanyol, because when you're bottom of the league or in the last places, it's very, very difficult to do worse, and you can only look up and climb in the standings.
Yeah, I have to agree with Paco in what he said. You know, those teams with a bad dynamic now have an opportunity to start fresh. And I think Espanyol is a great example of that, because we've seen how poorly they were doing right at the bottom, trying hard, but they just couldn't find their rhythm. And maybe now after this pause, they have that possibility of, you know, starting over again and getting those results they need. Also, another team I thought which might do best with this break is Real Sociedad, who were playing great, but you could see they were quite fatigued at this point of the competition, also with all that Copa del Rey hustle they've been having. So this little break will also be very beneficial to them. And also I'd point out Barcelona, of course, because we had that change of manager halfway through the season, and we were saying that Setién maybe didn't have enough time to implement all the ideas he wanted to transmit to the players, so maybe now he's had this extra period of time to do that. And finally, I would give a more general opinion of teams who are performing poorly away from home, such as maybe Betis or Atletico, who only got 3 wins away, now might not struggle as much, taking into account that the fans are not in the stadium. So that could be beneficial to teams like those, for example.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if the teams who struggled away from home can get better away form, but at the same time, try to maintain any home advantage that they might have enjoyed. I agree as well that Real Madrid and Real Sociedad could benefit, but for slightly different reasons. Real Madrid, I think, will benefit because they have such a deep squad, and if you can now do 5 substitutions per game, then that's going to be an advantage for them. Real Sociedad, they have a really, really young squad, so if you're playing games every 3 or 4 days, then maybe they've got the energy to do that. Unlike Getafe, on the other hand, who have so many players over 30 and who could struggle in that sense. So which teams do you both think will struggle the most from the break in the season and the new circumstances? Roman, let's go to you first.
Well, in this case, I think it's going to be a bit the opposite. Those which have more home games, for example, like Athletic de Bilbao or Sevilla, I think they could be affected because we also know that they have a very intense fan base. And when you go to those stadiums, the teams visiting tend to struggle very much. And maybe another example could also be Osasuna, who don't have as many home games, but we know that their stadium was, you know, their main hub of obtaining points. So right now, without all the pressure that there is at El Sadar, that might be very harmful for Osasuna. So it's hard to say it still at this point because, of course, there's a lot of question marks behind what's going to happen. Also, it depends on how teams are physically, if they get a lot of injuries, etc. But maybe those few teams I mentioned could be some of the ones that might struggle now when we return.
Yeah, I agree with Roman. My argument has to be, it needs to be the opposite to the one I had earlier. Teams who were very informed before the break, they might have a very challenging time. They might struggle going back to old habits. I'm speaking, for example, you guys mentioned Barca earlier. I think that even after losing against Real Madrid, they had won 4 of the last 5. So they are the top of the league. They have the pressure to keep winning, and I don't really think it's going to be that easy. Many people think that they are going to coast on many of those games because of their superior quality, but I think they're going to struggle. Also, you mentioned Getafe, for example. Let's see those teams who don't have the depth of squad, if they are able to keep up with the demands of the calendar we have ahead of us. I think the teams with short squads, who didn't plan to last summer to compete on 3 competitions in La Liga, in Copa del Rey, also Europa League or European competitions, they are going to struggle because they are going to have to play every 3 or 4 days. Expect trouble for Granada, for Eibar, for Valladolid, for Athletic Club even, who also will have Aduriz missing because he just underwent surgery. Some of those teams are going to have a very tough time ahead of them because playing every 3 days, if you don't have the proper squad to and the proper tools to do it, it's going to be very, very demanding on the physical side of the players.
Absolutely, and we'll watch on with anticipation to see which teams are the winners and which are the losers. We're going to take a short break now, after which we'll come back and discuss the title race, the European qualification fight, and the relegation battle. That's coming up after this short pause.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to this episode of La Liga Lowdown. I'm Ewan McTeer and I'm joined by Roman de Arcaire and Paco Pollitt. Let's now talk about the La Liga title race, guys. In the round just before the coronavirus paused the league, we had a change at the top. Barcelona went ahead of Real Madrid by beating Real Sociedad in the same weekend as their rivals lost to Real Betis. So Barcelona boast a 2-point lead now. Roman, I know that lockdown means you're not on the street and out and about as much, but what whispers are you hearing around Barcelona on the title race? What's the mood?
Well, obviously, Barcelona have good chances because they are leaders, and now it depends on Madrid having to, you know, cut back those points and recover the advantage. But honestly, in a personal level, I think Barcelona, are, as Paco said before, are going to have a tough time in the end. Although their Setién has had time to implement those ideas I mentioned before and all that, it's still going to be tricky because during this whole season, Barca have been going through lots of ups and downs, internal beefs in with the squad, with the directives, etc., etc. So it hasn't been an easy season. And in terms of the way they've been playing, it hasn't been great either. Paco was deceived with Valencia's performances, and I was a bit deceived with Barca's performance, I have to say, even though they might have been a slight improvement in a few games with Setién, but still there's still so much to improve on, and I'm sure Barca are going to drop lots of points. Well, maybe not lots of points, but they're going to drop points now and then in these next 11 games. And Madrid are going to drop them too. So, I mean, it's going to be a really close battle. And I think it's also going to end as it ended until now, you know, with a 2-3-4 point difference at the end of the league. So it's definitely going to be very interesting to see which of those two teams can finally, you know, push ahead and win the title.
And you, Paco, would you agree?
Yeah, I think in the same way he does, I think it's very difficult to predict this one because we haven't had the chance to see how the players have returned to training after being confined inside their homes for 2 months. In Barca's case, for example, they have gotten lucky with Luis Suarez's injury and he will be ready to play, whereas under regular circumstances, he would never have played a single remaining game this season. And in Real Madrid's case, it seems the whole squad is informed. They got Marco Asensio back. They got, it seems, Gareth Bale with his usual physical problems. Eden Hazard, for example, who has suffered physically throughout the season, is back. I think Luka Jovic is the only player with some problems. So I think the title is up for grabs this season. The match remainings are pretty similar for both sides, and I think it will depend on how well they adapt to the physical demands of playing so many games in so little time. I would say Real Madrid have a slight edge physically, but again, Barca like to play under Quique Setién with ball possession, and the players who play this way don't run around and wear off around so many. They keep their physical status a bit more intact, so it's going to be very balanced. My answer is pretty simple. It will be up to what Leo Messi does in the remaining games because he can topple the balance in favor of one or another.
Absolutely. As always, Messi will certainly have a say. Let's talk about the European race now. It's so tight. Sevilla in third on 47 points, Real Sociedad in fourth on 46, Getafe in fifth also on 46, and Atletico Madrid in sixth on 45 points, and Valencia in seventh on 42 points. They aren't far behind either. So what do you think, Paco? What about Valencia's chances? Can they climb up?
Well, as I'm Valencia-based, I tend to look everything from the Valencia perspective and see how it's going to affect the club. Valencia's chances have increased due to the fact that the seventh place will surely go to Europa League next season. Everyone knows that Real Sociedad and Athletic Club agreed on playing the Copa del Rey final whenever the authorities see it fit for fans to be inside the stadium. They don't want to snatch the possibility of enjoying live a Copa del Rey final to both of their fan bases. So that means it will probably happen after La Liga season is over. So that means the seventh place this year will go to the Europa League, and it won't be for the Copa del Rey winner as we had in the regulations this season. Valencia have quite a lot of ground to cover if they want to end in the first four spots, because remember, Valencia's aim is still getting into the fourth place or the third place. I actually did some math during the break and more or less guesstimated that they need around 22 or 23 points out of 33 to do it. Again, that's a guesstimation, not real numbers, but it's, you know, it points at the direction of Valencia having to win plenty of games out of the 11 remaining to get to that spot. The challenge is going to be huge for them, especially as you had in the middle Atleti right inside the middle of the fray, and they will lose not many games, as everyone knows. And you also have Getafe and Real Sociedad. They have showed lots of consistency this season up to this point, and they didn't do that last year. For example, Getafe fell apart in the last 2-3 games, and Valencia were under Marcelino were able to snatch that fourth spot in the 2018-2019. I expect, as I said earlier, many upsets from abroad sides due to the absence of fans inside the stadiums. And we have seen that in the Bundesliga. So right now, I see the favorites more or less in the order they have in the table. I see Sevilla, Real Sociedad and Getafe as favorites for one of those two Champions League spots. And we shouldn't forget Villarreal, because they are standing eighth. And with the return of the mighty Bruno Soriano back to training after a three-year absence due to his injury, he won't be able to play, but that is going to be very, very important for the morale of his teammates. So don't count on Villarreal in the race for the seventh place.
And Roman, what do you think about it? Who's getting Champions League and who's getting Europa League?
Well, I mean, asking at this stage, as we said, it's very difficult, you know, because there's so many, many things unanswered and how our teams can actually be at the same level or not. But if I had to pick the team, for example, to go to the Champions League, I think Sevilla looks strong. Real Sociedad, if they keep that level, they should be there. And you never know with Atletico de Madrid, although they haven't been at their best, you know, they're a classic in the Champions League. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, at the end they made it past Getafe and Real Sociedad, for example, and got that last spot for the Champions League. And then Europa League, as Paco said, Villarreal could also be one of the teams to keep in mind with Valencia and Getafe, etc., of course. And also Granada have
Granada.
The same points.
Yes,
38, as many as Villarreal. And they've had a wonderful season, has to be said, because at the beginning, some of us were saying they might even go down to Segunda División. But look at how well they're doing. They've impressed everybody. And who knows, maybe that magical moment comes for them and they make it to Europa League positions.
I would also like to ask that I think Imanol Alguacil and Diego Martinez, they are, I think, the two managers who are fighting for that revelation coach of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very smart by Roman to mention Granada, because the job he has done with the tools he had at his disposal, it's amazing. And I think it's one of the biggest stories of the season, even if the break some way cut short their momentum, but I think they're going to do well after the league is back.
Yes, they've been great all year, and why can't they be great over the final month? Let's now discuss a relegation battle. It's Espanyol 20th, Leganés 19th, and Real Mallorca 18th. How do you see this one going? Which teams will go down, and do you see any of these three climbing out? Roman, what do you think?
Well, I think at this stage, it's, as I said before, it's a fresh start, so any of them, I think, can actually pull out, even though Espanyol do have a very big leap, because it's 6 points to get to 17th at the moment, where Celta are, and that's definitely very complicated. But, you know, hopefully they've renewed their mentality, their mood is different. Even though the squads in the end are the same, maybe they can still break through that psychological barrier that was affecting them during this first most big part of the season. But of course, if they want to manage this, they're going to have to react very quickly. It can't happen in two or three games. They have to already get points from the first match day since returning to La Liga. But as we said, also there's Valladolid, there's Eibar, there's Celta, they're all in the mix. So I think anything can happen. And I think there will be surprises. It probably won't be those three going down. I think some changes are going to take place for sure.
Well, obviously, I've been paying close attention throughout the season due to Levante's positioning in the table. They seem to be clear from danger, 8 points over the relegation zone. But I think they shouldn't relax, as, for example, in Levante's case, they are going to be the main stars of an exodus, going to Alicante. La Nucía is going to be their main ground for the remaining games, because, as you know, Levante's ground is undergoing reformation. Of the covering of the stadium, the stands, everything, and that process has forced Levante to go outside their own ground and going 150 kilometers south until the small village of La Nucía. They're going to play there the remaining games. Let's see the way they adapt to that ground. It's a very big ground. I've been there actually a few years ago, and I've seen its possibilities. But overall, I think Levante are clear for danger. I think that Betis won't suffer, because they have the same points in the table nowadays, 33. I also think Alavés should be more or less able to win those games in Mendizorroza, because it's not that much the atmosphere over there, but Mendizorroza is a smaller stadium, a smaller ground, and they take advantage of that. But as Roman said earlier, I think that Valladolid, Eibar, Celta, they shouldn't sleep around in the remaining games, because Mallorca have showed they can win anywhere. Leganés have shown under El Vasco Aguirre they can also do that, and especially Espanyol. I have plenty of trust in Raúl de Tomás, in RDT, and I think he can be dynamite in the remaining 11 games and save Espanyol, the great save for the Pericos, because 5 points, 6 points isn't that much. It's only two games. So I think it's going to be the most interesting relegation battle in the last seasons.
I'm really interested to see what Mallorca will do. We said earlier that some of the teams who've been bad away from home can suddenly maybe pick up points on the road, and Mallorca just got their first away win of the season in Eibar before the stoppage. So let's see what they can do. And of course, for their home games, they're on an island, so it's going to be a pretty big trip for all their opponents who still have to come and visit them. So maybe that sees them retain some sort of home advantage. I've got one more question then I'd like to ask both of you before we wrap up. Can you both give me one bold prediction? One thing you think could happen that would be quite surprising?
In my case, Atleti falling short of the Champions League and finishing fifth. That would be pretty mind-blowing, especially as we learned the news a few days ago of Mono Burgos leaving at the end of this season and to become an elite coach, and leaving Simeone's shadows after 10 years. I think that isn't going to be a crucial factor in this sense, but I think that Atleti might not be able to do it, because the other teams in the race, Sevilla, Getafe, Real Sociedad, even Valencia themselves, they have the potential to ruin Atleti's season, and let's see what happens with the championship. But I think Atleti falling short of European spots and falling short of that fourth place and ending fifth or sixth, I think it would be a pretty big upset.
I'll go for Espanyol saving themselves. It's going to be a tough call, because of course they have a long way to go, but I think they can do it. I like their squad. As Paco said, Raúl de Tomás is a fantastic striker. If they just can get, you know, a few wins, a good streak, and start getting those points they need, I think they should save themselves. And they're a team we're used to seeing in Primera División, so it would be very awkward not to have them next season playing in La Liga.
I like them both. I'm going to go for Granada getting into Europe. I think at the start of the season I had them finishing bottom, but I've been completely changed. I'm a born-again Granada believer, and why not? Why not get into Europe with some more impressive performances these next few weeks? Well, Paco and Roman, thanks for your time. It's good to talk to you both about football again.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure, and I think that everyone is right now on the same page of the book. We are desperate for the ball to be kicked around once again, for the games to kick off in a few days. I think fans have been desperate to enjoy their passion. I'm also very happy for colleagues and mates who will be able to get back to business and cover the games and make a living. And I am also extremely happy for La Liga Lowdown, for the whole squad, because everyone, we love Spanish football, and I think we can't wait to finally deliver those matchday recaps, to be running around trying to deliver the podcast in time, and also the quality content that people have grown used to listen every single week.
Yeah, I wanted to say that despite not having any fans at the stadiums, which of course is a setback for a lot of people who enjoy being there, and of course watching the games, you have all the fans there, it makes a difference. But at the same time, we are going to have a dream scenario where we're playing game after game after game after game, and that's something I don't think we've ever had, so that's going to be fantastic to enjoy, you know, La Liga non-stop. That's going to be amazing. So looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys often about the upcoming match days, of course.
And remember, we have also released another preview podcast where we spoke to 20 fans, one for each La Liga team. Go check that out as well if you'd like to get completely up to date ahead of La Liga's return this Thursday with the Seville derby. Also, we have content on LaLigaLowdown.com and on our La Liga Lowdown Twitter account. We've got injury updates there, for example. But that's all from us just now. Thanks a lot for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.